Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Thursday night. I'm jumping ahead of myself. On Thursday night, January 11th, 2018. Yes, believe it or not, we are almost in the middle of January of 2018 already. How time flies by. So the question on tonight is, what are you doing to fulfill your God purpose? On Thursday night, January 11, 2018, now that we are in the year 2018, what are you doing to glorify the Lord in your body? So, again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m., we come to you live from Detroit, Michigan. And tonight, we have with us none other than Deacon Marvin Cox of Detroit, Michigan. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem, as he always does. He always gives us inspiration and motivation through the reading of his poems. So we want to be blessed by him through his poems on tonight. And following his poem, he's going to come back and he's going to declare the word of the Lord on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth the word again on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he brings forth God's word on tonight. But as we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ. We come once again to say thank you for this another day that you have made. Thank you for who and all that you are. Heavenly Father, we come. Before we ask for anything else, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, that are done in our bodies, minds, or spirits, known or unknown. We ask that you would forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ, so that everything that we do for you, Heavenly Father, over this worldwide platform on tonight, and not only through this worldwide platform, but as being vessels of your word, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us so that everything we do would not be in vain, that you would be glorified through it all. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we come also, Heavenly Father, lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that have been affected by the mudslides in California. They recently had the wildfires. Now they're dealing with the rain And after the rain affected them, now they are experiencing the mudslides in California. And so far, 15 lives have been lost, and they are still seeking and searching for bodies. So, and hopefully they find more alive. So it's our prayer, Heavenly Father, that you would comfort and strengthen those that have been affected by this mudslide in California, for those that have lost loved ones. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. And not only them that has lost loved ones, but for those that have lost loved ones all over the land, comfort and strengthen their hearts, Heavenly Father, as only you can. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we know that you are our healer. We know that you are our comforter. You are our joy, our peace, our strength. You are everything that we need, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for it in advance, and we thank you from your grace and your mercy toward us in spite of ourselves. Heavenly Father, continue to have mercy upon your people. We are living in such a time, Heavenly Father, that we know that we need to continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help. For all of our help comes from you. And we're so grateful, Heavenly Father, to know that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in office of other countries. We know that you are in total control. And we do know that you sometimes allow certain things to happen to get our attention. So we pray that your will be done in each one of us that are being vessels and ambassadors and doers of your word all over the land. Continue to use us for your glory, that we can draw and compel men, women, boys, and girls to be saved. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Move by your spirit over the airways on tonight. Continue to move by your spirit, that should there be anyone that's listening on tonight that is not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer that they would become saved on tonight, because we know that you are right now God, and it's not your desire that any souls be lost. So use Marvin, Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, that souls can be drawn to Jesus Christ and be saved in his name. Backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through the word, through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, that you will be glorified through it all, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for tuning in, and we thank you for going into prayer with us at this time. So right now, we have our spiritual food for thought for tonight, and tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, what will you do to glorify God in 2018? That's a good question for each and every last one of us on tonight, including myself. No matter what you've already done, what are you willing to do even more? What will you do to glorify God in 2018? I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. Once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I do thank you for tuning in faithfully, listeners, and I pray that you will continue to pass your word to your neighbors, your friends, your ministries, your co-workers, even your enemies. Let them know about this worldwide platform, that the word of God is going forth, because I know that it's not about me, it's not about the guests, but it's about the word of God going forth with power, even in today's time, even in the society, in the times that we're living in. God's word is still the same. It changes not. So we know that he changes not, and neither does his word. So his word still has power, and we thank God for this worldwide platform, that we have men and women that are coming forth, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, compelling men, women, boys, and girls, for such a time as this, to be come in and be saved in the name of Jesus before it's too late. Because guess what? Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, he is coming back again. So the question is, well, would you be ready? Do you want to hear God say unto you when you stand before him in the day of judgment, well done, thy good and faithful servant? That's what I want to hear. And I'm sure that's what most of the listeners want to hear. And those that are saved in Jesus' name, that's what we all want to hear, that our labor was not in vain. And we do not want to hear God say unto us, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So on tonight, if you're not saved in Jesus' name, it's his desire that you be saved and come to know your God purpose. He wants a personal relationship with you if you're not saved in his name on tonight. So this is a good time to give Jesus Christ your heart and your life, that he can use you for the glory of God through your bodies and through the works of your bodies, that God will be glorified. So right now we're going to go right into we're going to do our music break first. And following this music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask Deacon Marvin Cox if he would share his inspirational poem with us. And following his poem, I'm not going to ask him to go directly into the Word. So I'm asking the listeners right now, if you do not have your Bibles and pens and paper ready, please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready now so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he delivers God's Word on tonight. But right now we're going to go to our music break. And then once again, Deacon Marvin Cox, following the music break, he's going to come back and he's going to share his poem with us. And then he's going to go directly into the Word on tonight. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, indeed, you are now in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? And yes, tonight is Thursday night, January 11, 2018. Yes, again, Thursday night, January 11, 2018. Do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to receive the word on tonight by Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share a poem first. But I just wanted to stress on this music break, the song, because of such a time that we're living in. Again, no matter what it looks like, what we are going through, what we're experiencing, and sometimes it don't even seem like God is in the mix or in the picture at all. But through it all, he's always there. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So that's why we should always give him praise. Why? He is worthy to be praised. Because of who he is, I thank God that he is worthy to be praised. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, what it looks like, don't throw in the towel. Hold on to your faith. Continue to give God praise until your breakthrough comes, because he promised it will come. So right now, we're yielding the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox to share his poem first. And following his poem, he's going to go directly into the Word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you at this time.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. To all the listeners, I'd like to say Happy New Year. It seems like it's been a long time since the last time the Lord allowed me to come forth with his word. And Brother Brown, piggybacking what you were just saying, is a perfect segue to the poem that the Lord gave me to give to the people. And because he's always in control, he, you know, regardless of what the situation is, there's a way out. And he showed me and he told me through this poem, it's concerning safety. It's called God's Ark, and I would like to present it to you. Storms are raging, floods are rising. What perilous times we are in. Is there no refuge from agony? Is there no shelter from sin? Will the tumult overtake us? Trapped as though no one cared? Or in his arms is there refuge? Safe in the ark, he's prepared. Beloved, that ark is Jesus, the one who controls the peace. The one who can speak to the storm clouds and cause the raging winds to cease. Yet often he speaks not to the storm clouds to silence their clamor and power, but rather he takes us in within his ark and calls us to rest in that hour. So do not be bitter as storms, my friend, for the rainbow its message will tell. God granted mercy to faithful Noah, and he'll grant us mercy as well. Rest on the waters, O child of the King. Rest, for his message is true. Till the waters subside, and they always do, God will take care of you. He'll feed you, he'll love you, he'll teach you, and lead you through caverns quite dark, and bring you back to the mountain's peak, sheltered and safe in his ark. Rest, blessed Christian, even in the storm as the billows flood over your soul. Rest, blessed Christians, you're safe in his ark because God is in perfect control. Amen. That's an encouragement to God's children because even though this year is short in its length, I've been to several funerals and I know of quite a few people that have went home. So I know that now is the time to put our total trust and our faith in the Lord. I want to tarry before you long. The Lord gave me for this year concerning the old wine and the new bottles. And he gave me several scriptures to read unto you. And the scriptures I would read them in their entirety is Matthew 9 and 14 through 17, Mark 2, 21 and 22, and Luke 5, 33 and 39. And I'll give you the topic after I read the scriptures. First, I'm reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible, Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 14 through 17. And it reads, "Then came to him the disciples of Jesus, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But his days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall not fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. He that which is put in to fill it up, take it from the garment, and lo, they rent to be made worse. These are the men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wines into new bottles, and they both are preserved." I'm moving over to Mark, the second chapter, verses 21 and 22. And it reads, "No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst, and the bottles and the wine is spilled, and the bottle will be marred. But new wine must be put in new bottles." That was Mark, the second chapter, verses 21 and 22. Now I read to you from Luke, the fifth chapter, verses 33 through 39. And it reads, "And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees put thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new make it a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he said, The old is better." I just read unto you from various chapters of the book of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Gospel according to St. Mark, and St. Luke, pertaining to the same scriptures. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. Now, our topic for this year, my first opportunity of the year, is mixing the new with the old won't do. Now, that's something to think about. All of these scriptures here, it was giving us an illustration that when you try to patch things up, that it normally makes it worse. And the Lord was talking to the Pharisees at this time, because they were trying to, as they normally are, they were very critical of the Lord. They were trying to find a flaw within his spirit and with his presentation, because the Lord was always mingling and he was always mixing and he was always giving encouragement to those that was less fortunate than him. So he was telling them, as they was asked, well, you know, why don't your disciples fast? Why is this and why is that? So the Lord was saying that because they wanted to add on Jesus to their ways and their customs, and that would not do. Mixing the new with the old would not do. Must have a new change, a new understanding of what it is that we must do, because, see, you cannot add on to what Jesus has done, what Jesus has said, because he has said it all. Because Jesus plus nothing is equal to everything. He'll take a nothing like me, and it will turn out to be everything. So it's not that I'm bringing forth an addition. Of course, he needs people to go out and bring forth his word. But I got news for you, my brothers and my sisters. It's his word. It's not my word. He's just using me, using Brother Brown, using the listeners, using the preachers, the messengers, or whoever is uplifting his most holy name. He's just using us as vessels to bring forth his word. So we cannot allow ourselves to believe that we are that much, because say they consider us as a filthy rag, and our sin stinks and is natural. So it's not the time for me to begin to think well of myself, because he allowed me to bring forth his word. Now, this new wine, and I got to give you a history on the wine skins, said that they will not do, because at that time, when the wine was made, they put it into goat skins, and the goat skins, they were airtight. But if you know anything about wine, after the new wine is put into the bottles, it ferments, and due to the fermentation process, it expands the goat skin out. And so after so long, the goat skin can only stretch so far. And so after it stretches to its capacity and you put some more wine in there, the pressure from that will burst that wine skin. Just like if you put wine, or if you, on New Year's Eve, if you were out or had a quiet celebration with a loved one, and you popped a cork on that champagne, the pressure that built up inside of that bottle was enough to, you know, they put the cork firmly in place so that it would not come out. But if the cork was used as a projectile, it was strong enough to make you lose an eye. So that fermentation process that wine goes through. And back in those days, they did not have plastic. They did not have the containers that they have to hold on to those types of things. So you cannot put that new wine into an old wine skin. Then you use the example of the cloth, that you cannot put new cloth on an old garment. But if you notice around the knees, where the threads in the material, where it's thin, if you put a new patch on that, the threads around there are not close enough as like in a sheet. The more closely the threads are together, the better the sheet is. So if you don't have it together, it will not hold. So the Lord is telling us that we have to be careful, that we will be wasteful if we tried to put this new wine into an old bottle. But see, we have to look at this in the spirit. This year, when one thing that a lot of people have done, at the beginning of the year, people have made their, what they call their New Year's resolution. They say, well, I'm going to, which we know the weight is always high on the list. We know to quit smoking is on the list. We know there are several things that we said that we're going to do in order to improve our life. But maybe 2 or 3 weeks after we get started, we're right back doing the same thing. Why? Because we're trying to put that new wine into this old body. We're trying to put that new word into this old body. But the Lord tells us that we have to be not conform, but we have to be transformed. So we have to be transformed. Why? By the renewing of our mind. We have to be transformed in such a way that our spirit will be able to, that is within us, will be able to hold on to that word, because the pressure of getting the word, because if you notice, when we first come into the house of prayer, we were so enthusiastic about God's word. We're just so effervescent, so bubbly about going out and sharing God's word, that everywhere we went, our enthusiasm was off the charts. And then through the excitement and the zeal that we had, we were able to convince some people. They said, wow, this brother is very, very serious about what it is, or the sister is very serious about serving the Lord. But then later on, that same old attitude creeped back. Those things that we had swore off. Well, you know how that is. You know, I got nervous, or my sister got sick, and I just started back to smoking. But see, that attitude cannot allow ourselves to have the same attitude that we had last year about serving God. Can allow ourselves to have that same attitude about the animosities that we have towards our brothers and our sisters. We got to put that new wine, got to put that new word. And over there in Luke, it was saying that once you taste the old, you don't want to try the new. And it goes to show you that those people that have wine cellars, it seems like the older the vintage is on that wine, the better it is. Same thing with God's word. See, his word doesn't change. It's the same word. But every time I hear that word becomes new to me. Because once something becomes old, it becomes boring. So the word of God is new, and it keeps constantly refreshing itself in my mind and in your mind. Because you can hear the word of God, the same scripture, hundreds of times over, and then get a different understanding out that same that one scripture is telling you. So the word of God is new. Over there in Ezekiel, it tells us that he will replace, Ezekiel 11 and 19 tells us that he will replace our heart. That he will give us a new heart. They replace our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. So this telling us right now that we need to go through that transformation. We need to allow ourselves to have that heart transplant. And anytime you get something new, the old becomes obsolete. The old is not able to hold on to that. And to give you a mechanical example, once your radiator goes out, we're going to say the radiator is the heart. Once the radiator goes out, if you don't change your hoses, the pressure that is built up inside those radiators is going to bust your hoses, it's going to bust your reservoir, it's going to do all of these things. Why? Because it's got new pressure. And this is the same thing that we have to do when it comes down to God's word. The pressure from, and there's no pressure in God's word, but just ignoring God's word, we cannot incorporate God's word with sin. Because it's going to be a conflict. And that conflict that is going on, that is with inside of us, that conflict that is going on, it will cause us to have a rupture in our way of thinking. And people will say, well, he's all over the place. It brings about an instability. It brings about a confusion to those that is watching us. But see, we've got to have that made up mind in order to do what it is that God will have us to do. We have to have that, quit mixing that old, that new, with that old. And now I got a full understanding of why it is that most women, when they go out, when they put on their Sunday go to meeting clothes, everything is new. From the hairdo all the way down to the shoes. And all in between, everything is new. Why? Because they're not going to mix that old with that new, with that old. Because this piece might be outdated. So this is the same thing that we have to do. Whereas us gentlemen, wearing the same blue suit, been wearing it for years, you know, still looking good now. Take good care of it. But you just cannot mix that old, that new, with that old. Because, see, the old wears out. The old deteriorates. Even if you go to your Bible and you had that Bible, some of us, and I'm for one, I'm guilty of that, have our Bibles is so raggedy from usage. Because those pages in that Bible are fragile. So every now and then, maybe every 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years or however long it might be, that it takes us to wear out a Bible. We have to go and we have to get a new Bible. Why? Because their favorite scripture that we read, their favorite scripture that we always have reference to, we go to that page and turn to the pages. The binder in the back of the Bible is going to eventually get loose, and pages are going to, the glue, all of these things are going to eventually come loose. So eventually we're going to have to get that new. We can't mix the new with the old. it won't do. Can't mix our new attitude with the way we used to be. It won't do. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm imploring each and every last one of you to, if you got the New Year's resolution, because God allowed us to step our feet into a year that was never promised to us, a year that we didn't know whether we would see or whether we would not see. And now that perfect opportunity for us to reunite ourselves back with God. And it's not that we're doing anything wrong. It's not that we have violated His ordinances or anything like that. But us, especially us Christians, we have to change our attitude, because there are some people out there that through to our Christian arrogance, we chase them away. We've said to them, well, hey, I got mine, and you got to get yours. We have to show extreme patience, the same patience that God showed us in the beginning. He labored with us when He didn't give up on us. When, I'm not going to say that God gets frustrated, but when we've done things that may have frustrated God, that's the only way I could put it. But God, He hung with us. This is the same thing that we have to do with our brothers and our sisters. We have to show that extreme patience. We have to be more, a little bit more charitable in our giving. Because last year, we tied it. But guess what? We didn't bring forth no love offering, because we said, well, I already gave up enough of my earnings and my wages. So there's so many other ways, so many things that we could get a new attitude about concerning God. That brother, that sister that we passed on at the bus stop on the way to the house of prayer, knowing that he was going to the same place, we could stop and offer him a ride. Those neighbors down the street who just seem like they kids' nose are always running. That turkey, that meals that we had for the holidays, we don't have to take them no leftovers, but we could invite them on down. Hey, you know, we got more than enough. Come on down. So there's so many things that we could change our attitudes for. Because we thinking that we are doing what it is that God has told us to do. We're supposed to look out for our fellow man. We're supposed to be the same way that the Lord was when he was going, when he was sojourning down here, going from place to place, meeting needs and healing and giving words of encouragement and ministering to people, because it don't have to always cost you to give somebody the word of God. Some people that just need someone to talk to them, we got to make more time. We got to get that new attitude about spending more time doing what it is that will make God happy. Quit thinking that the world is constantly revolving around ourselves. Because my brothers and my sisters, this new wine is Jesus. The old bottles is our body, ourself. So we know that the word says, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. So I need an attitude adjustment. I thought I did well last year, but guess what? I can do better this year. I can search people out. I can see the need, and I can meet the need. So this new wine, this wonderful new wine, my body can't hold it. I can't, like I say, you cannot merge sin with righteousness. You can't merge righteousness with sin. So you have to renew. You have to get rid of that which is holding you back. You have to get that new bottle. Got to have a new attitude concerning all the things that God has put before us. Now is not the time to faint, nor to hold back. Because whether we know it or not, people are dependent on us. And they're not dependent on us in the way in which we think they depend on us. They're dependent on us to live right before them Why? To show them that it can be done. My adversity should be a good example for other people. Well, if this brother can go through this and persevere through all the difficulties that he have, then I can too. This is what I'm talking about. We got to get that new attitude, because see, sometimes we begin to fluctuate between what is right and what is not right, and we set a bad example because we in that flesh. Even though we know that God, he said that he would not dwell with men at all times, but to think godly thoughts, to pursue godly pursuits, this is what we need to do. You know, spend more time this year with your Bible. You know, turn that tablet off and that TV off. Study more. Because the old patriarchs of old, when God was bringing forth his word, they stayed in the word, even if they could not read. If you made an error and bringing forth God's word, they say, no, that's not so. So now is that time for us to have that self-examination over in 2 Corinthians. I mean, in Corinthians, it's let us know during the time that the Lord was preparing his supper, said to let a man examine himself. So now is that time for that self-examination, for that self-evaluation. It don't take much for us to find out that we have come short. And I'm not trying to make it seem like we have to be perfect in the Lord, because the Lord says that we are human. His word said we're human, and we're subject to mistakes, and we're subject to errors. So this means on a normal level that I'm going to every now and then, I'm going to say something that you know, words going to fly out my mouth that shouldn't come out my mouth. I'm going to do some things that might make you question my Christianity or my dedication to the Lord. But I'm human. I'm subject to mistakes and errors just as you are. So I should not penalize you. You should not penalize me. We should not penalize one another when these things come about. Why? Because we're putting that new wine into that new wineskin. That's all we got to do, because we need help. I can't do it on my own. Doing it on my own is not an option, because how many people have we ran across during our various walks of life that have said, and I quote, when I get myself together, I'm going to go to church. It's impossible. I don't care who you are. Impossible for you to get yourself together without the help of the Lord. So we have to ask the Lord, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Why? Because that temptation is too great out there to patronize the flesh. But if I ask the Lord, Lord, you know that I know that this, whatever it is, might be, is against you, Lord, and I want to serve you more. I want to serve you with a pure mind and a pure conscience. Lord, remove these things away from me. He says, take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. So this is one of the steps. We have to realize how feeble we are. We have to realize that we cannot do nothing without the Lord, and submit ourselves unto him. Now, that's a new idea right there. That's a great idea right there. Because why? We feel so self-sufficient within ourselves that we forget about God is in control. That poem that I read to you about the safety in this ark and everything, regardless of what storm may come your way, God could tell you, or tell that storm to behave itself, but it says that he gives us rest in that hour, because it might be somebody out there who need to understand the awesomeness of God's power and submit themselves unto him. Now, that's the safest place for anybody to be during times of trouble, and that's in in their parents' arms because you feel safe, you feel secure, you feel like this is insignificant. Why? Because you are wrapped in the bosom of your parent. Same thing with God. He wraps, you know, when he embraces us on his bosom, then all of those cares and all those worries that we allow to creep into our mind, they become secondary. Why? Because I got a new mind. I got a new heart. As I said, Ezekiel said that he will replace that. It's time for us to stop putting that Band-Aid on our heart that's been wounded by other people. Because the Band-Aid is not going to do. Because it's not going to do. It's not going to be able to repair that heart like it should. We need a heart transplant. Not by Henry Ford Hospital or one of the major hospitals like that, but a heart transplant from God so that our heart could be meek and mild. So we can submit ourselves to him so we have a better understanding of those things in which God would have us to do. Because there are some Christians, unfortunately, and I'm not bashing anybody, but I know a few Christians who have a very stony heart, who feel that no one ever did anything for them, that they made their own way. But I disagree with them, because in order for them to get to that position that they're in, somebody had to approve of that first job. Somebody said that you are worthy to be hired. Somebody had to approve that loan on that first house. Somebody had to approve the loan on that car. Somebody had to say, well, you know, we want to put you in a position of authority. And someone had to touch those people's heart in order for that to happen. So God is in control. We don't give God the credit or the honor that he deserves. Why? Because of our self-sufficient mind, our self-sufficient ways. But it's time for us to get that. But the new and the old is not going to mix. You're going to have a conflict every time. God's word is true. God's word is God's word is what he said that it is. So my brothers and my sisters, we just cannot allow ourselves to fall by the wayside. And if something is new, it's very durable. And I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. And it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, so all things are become new. But see, it's got that conjunction there. That conjunction is if. And if is a conjunction which is a qualifier, means that when a certain condition is met, a predetermined result will follow. It's the if therefore. So if you go through the procedures of bringing forth this, whatever it is that God will have you to do, if a man be in Christ, it don't say if a man walk by Christ, if a man knows Christ's name, but if a man be in Christ, he becomes that new creature. It says he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's why the old and the new won't mix. It won't do. My brothers and my sisters, it's time. If I want to be that new creature in Christ, then I must allow those old things. No, those old things will automatically pass away. Why? Because I will lose my desire to do those things. I will want do everything that I can to please the master. I will do everything that I can not to offend him in any way. And see, we're supposed to worship the Lord with fear and in trembling. And see, this is not the type of fear that most people think that it is. You know, that you're scared, because God don't want you to be scared of him. But this fear that I'm talking about, because when you're fearful of something, it paralyzes you. But the fear that I'm talking about, and I feel this way about God, I feel this way about my wife, I feel this way about all the people that I love. My biggest fear is my fear that I will disappoint God in some type of way. That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared even now. I'm scared that I might say something wrong or do something wrong that God is not pleased with. That's why I have to move myself out of the way. And see, as I say, in trembling and in fear, but see, that trembling is to notice or to recognize the awesomeness of God and see and be in awe of something, because when you're in awe of something, it's awe-inspiring and it will overwhelm you. It will cause you to tremble. It will cause you to shake. Why? Because that new is coming. That new is bringing itself to me, and I'm bringing myself to it, and it's incorporating itself within me. Because once that new comes, hopefully, and anybody that's listening, it shouldn't be no room for the old. Because if I call myself a new creature in Christ and I'm doing the same thing, something is wrong. I'm getting the same results because I have not submitted myself wholeheartedly. And what I have to give up is nothing compared to what I'm going to eventually gain. This body of mine, it's just going through a temporary inconvenience. But there will be a time when your body, your mind, the things, the difficulties that you're facing now, could just about look back on those things and laugh. Why? Because they're just a temporary inconvenience. We have to learn how to navigate our way through adversity. Because if we did not go through adverse things, how could we ever know? If we were not unhappy, how could we know what happiness feels like? Mm-hmm. If we're not sad, how could we know what joy is? So these are things that are teaching things. Because God said that his spirit will not thrive with men at all times. So there's going to be some times that I might feel or that you might feel that God has abandoned me. Well, what, God, you know, why are you allowing me to go through this? But Job didn't question him during the time he was going, through some of the things that he was going through. But he uplifted his name. He said, Lord thy God giveth, and Lord thy God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So can you rejoice, my brothers and my sisters, during your time of turmoil? The Lord decided that it was time to call somebody home. Could you rejoice knowing that the Lord allowed them to be in your life for a little while? Or would you complain? Say, Lord, you took them away from us way too soon. Now, when somebody loans something to you, it's a good thing. You say to yourself, they didn't have to do that, because there are some that leave here over a short amount of time, some that here for a long amount of time. But whatever amount of time they're here, they're still on God's schedule. We are still on God's schedule. So, my brothers and my sisters, this was just an encouragement. That's all this was for this year. That's what I'm going to try to do, is encourage you. But sometimes, in me encouraging you, or man or woman of God encouraging you, they have to let you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They have to let you know that it is a consequence, because there is no preacher that I know that is going to constantly try to preach you happy. Every now and then, they're going to have to bring forth some type of admonishment. But and I'm going to do the best I can this year to bring about encouragement to my brothers and my sisters, because it occurred in you, it encourages me. And I just thank God that if your resolution, if you didn't fulfill your resolution, it's because you put that new wine in that old bottle. You put that new cloth on an old garment. And it's time to renew, because this is a new year. It may not have started off, but we're still here. And we're here for a reason. So my brothers and my sisters, I leave you with that message that the new wine, you can't mix the old, the new. If you notice, the new going to come first. You can't mix the new with the old. That just won't do. But you can mix God's word with that new spirit, like he said in Ezekiel, that he give you a new heart made out of flesh, and he give you a new spirit. So if something is not right, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, something is off kilter here. I need you to help square me away. So may God bless you and may ever keep you. I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth this, because this was the most appropriate scripture that I could bring forth this year at this time. And that is that our attitude, not that they're bad, but they could be better. I don't care how charitable we were last year, we could be more charitable this year, because God blessed us in that way. Amen. I now turn you over back in the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox for that awesome, much-needed word on tonight. Yes, and I'm in total agreement with the word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox. Mixing the new with the old won't do. So, and just as he was just saying in the closing of the message on tonight, for those of you that are listening by chance, if you have walked away from God, if you are not in fellowship with God, this is a good time to do it, because God wants that personal relationship with you. This is a good time to start off the new year right, with the new attitude, with the new change of heart, when you get reconciled back to God and come back into fellowship with God. Then you can continue to walk in your God purpose and fulfill your God purpose in the earth that he has ordained you for even before the foundation of the world. So this is our on-time word on tonight for this new year from Deacon Marvin Cox. And I thank God for this word. I have been blessed by the word on tonight as he forestated in the message. No matter how many times you hear the word, you can always get something new out of the word, because the word never changes, just like God never changes. Sometimes the situations change, people and times change, but God and his word never change. But we can get something new, a new revelation out of the word of God every time we read it. So that's why we have to be prayerful, and that's why we have to meditate on the word, so God can reveal new things to us as we study his word. So as Deacon Marvin Cox said, it's important that we get in the word, study to show ourselves approved. That's what the word of God says, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So you cannot rightly divide the truth of God's word if you do not know the God's word. So you got to have God's word in you. So sometimes you're not always going to be able to get to your Bible. So that's why it's important that you get the word deeply rooted inside of you, because there's going to come a time that you may not be able to get the word in your hand, because God said he will bring these things back to your remembrance at such a time that you need them through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Lord will put people in front of you to ask you a certain question, and you have to know the word. And if you don't know the word, tell them you don't know, that you get back with them after you research it, and that you don't want to just leave the people hanging if you don't know what the answer is. Research it and then get back with them and give them the answer, the right answer according to God's word, not your feelings or personal opinions. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox and this much-needed word on tonight. Mixing the new with the old won't do. And that is the gospel truth on tonight. So I pray that you were blessed by the word as I was, and thank God for his poem, inspirational poem, God's Ark. So continue to be blessed by the word. Continue to be a doer of God's word without hidden motives or agendas, because God is not like man. I thank God that he is not like man. He's searching our hearts, and he's not like man. He's not out of even though he looked at the outer appearance, but he's searching the heart. So I thank God that he's not like man. And thank God that he changes not. He failed not. He cannot lie. So continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands as you can continue to fulfill your God purpose in this new year, 2018. Well, we're going to close out in prayer. And I ask all listeners to go in prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you continue to touch and lead and guide Deacon Marvin Cox as you continue to pour into him, as he continue to feed your people with the inspiration of poems that you bless them to write, and also through your word that you inspire him to share with your people over this worldwide platform. So continue to renew his mind and his spirit, that as he comes forth in the new year, that he will be able to bring us even more powerful words and messages directly from you. Thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. Continue to bless his life. Continue to bless the works of his hands. Not only him, but all doers of your word all over the land. Continue to bless us individually and then as a corporate body of believers, that you will be glorified through us individually and then as a corporate body, for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word, your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you're not like man, and we thank you that you're in total control. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. So we just give your name praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because you're worthy to be praised through it all. You're worthy to be praised. And all the people of God said in agreement that we give your name praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name on tonight. Amen. Well, until the next time, know that God loves you. I love you too. Until the next time, we're going to continue to give God total praise. Why? He's worthy to be praised. Until the next time, good night.